Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, here are a handful of keywords. You tell me what they have in common. You ready?
Ready.
You love these little tests, don't you?
No, I hate them, okay, but still, I'm ready.
What do these keywords have in common? Fantastic, bizarre, unearthly, uncanny, abnormal, unusual. You got any? You should have an idea.
Me?
Yeah. You know what? I'll take that. Since you sent me the show topic, I figured you'd hit the nail on the common denominator here. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is Journey to There, the radio show, and it's the intersection between personal and business growth with a little bit of, you ready? Weird mixed in. That's the common denominator. Weird. We are now available to be heard on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, as well as Empower Radio, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and you can catch us online at journeytothere.com. So, Tracy, how are you going to prove to us that it's a good thing to be weird?
Weird. Well...
And yes,
great
you are
question.
Weird. So you did get it. You did get
weird,
it right.
I'm weird, but I embrace my weird, and that's what we're really talking about today: embracing your weirdness.
Aww.
And I highly recommend anyone do it. It is really actually pretty fun.
I like weird.
So, I do too, and you know there are studies that prove that other people do too. So we'll get to that in our show.
Okay.
But our topic today is embrace your weird. We are all more alike than we think.
I agree.
And of course, you know, I always like to, when I debut a topic, I always like to tell you how I have arrived at such topic. And here we go.
Yeah, this one I can't wait to hear. See, what everybody needs to understand is there's this thing called show prep where, you know, the DJs or the radio hosts or the co-hosts, they get together and they prepare the show. We have very little preparation, and it's kind of
on
like
purpose,
spontaneous, and it's
yes.
a surprise. And this is my favorite part, to find out what the heck happened to you to come up with the topic today. I say that every
to come up with the embrace your weird,
yes.
right? Did I get bullied on the playground or did I? No. Okay. So, well, really it started with, I was looking at, you know how in the news they'll say like, if you can click a button that has like the most highly talked about news, I think I'm actually referring to the news when you see it on Facebook on the right.
Yeah.
side of the page. Okay. I'm not admitting that might be how I get my news sometimes,
oh, gosh.
But anyway, not the topic. Anyway, there was this, highly talked about portion of Ellen DeGeneres' show,
yeah.
and I'm not a big TV watcher, so, but of course I knew who Ellen was, and I clicked on it, and she was doing an episode, like it was a snippet of an episode of her show, where she was talking about the fact that we are all more alike than we are different, and it really resonated with me, because it just struck me, I was like, in our world, in the times we're going through right now, everything is a huge... No matter where you live internationally, it's just a big wave of big change. And so my heart got struck by the we are all more alike than we are different. And then, of course, my brain started working. And then I started thinking about how being different can be a good thing in terms of like embracing what it is about yourself that you think is different. So
and what comes up in my mind is there's a fine line, because if we were all different alike, if we were all alikely different, if we were all like different in the same way, then there wouldn't be different anymore. So you have to have that fine line where different is different and not the same anymore. Boy, am I being confusing.
Well, or philosophical. We'll just go with that. So the other thing that happened that led me to this is, you know, there's always a time when you have to attend an event, right? So, I mean, there is, you go to a barbecue, you get invited to
a family reunion, anything.
A family reunion.
Okay.
Now, that's weird. Family reunions. Those are in a weird category.
And
about
you know, and also the high school reunions.
And the high school reunion, that's a great example of what I'm about to segue
that's
into,
weird.
Which is, so you're getting ready for it, and you're, you know, especially, you know, the female side of things, you know, we're like checking in the mirror, it's high school reunion, we're making sure we still look as good as
Wait,
we did 30
you don't
years
think,
ago.
You don't think the guys are checking their bald spots?
Well, see, exactly, and that's where I was going with this. So you may think as an individual, male or female, that you're the only one that's going to show up at this party being like a completely scattered hot mess, like just the whirlwind coming in, and that you're going to have this perception, or at least I can have this perception, that I'm going to walk in the room and I am like the frenetic, scattered, hot mess, although I do look good while I'm doing it. And I think that every single other person in the room completely has their stuff together. And
nobody
Nobody
does.
But nobody really stops to think about it long enough to realize that, A, that everybody else is thinking the exact same thing you are, that they think that they're the only one arriving to said function that is a just, you know, uncomfortable, awkward, feeling socially inept, and they think everyone else has the perfect life. Or B, more importantly, nobody's thinking about you at all. At all.
And understand this, and I'm going to compare the two. Whether it be a high school reunion or Facebook, everything is overinflated. There's a lot of insecurity that goes on, and how much puff is done when, oh, how have you been? How are things going? Oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And it's easy to say because you're going to see them at the reunion and then you're going to turn around and leave, or you're going to see them on Facebook. You can create this grand life to your friends, whether it be at a reunion or Facebook, and it just, you know, is it the real you?
Well, and no matter what world you create and offer to the outside, it's still the psychological sabotage that you're doing to yourself on the inside.
Yes.
Because at that point, what you're saying, whether it's analog or digital, in person or online, you're still having that conversation with yourself that I'm a fraud, a fake, and a phony, and oh my gosh, they're about to figure me out. And so that is not a really fun way to live your life, and it's exceptionally stressful when you are going into a situation where there is either a small or large group of individuals. And I had the opportunity. See, this is the way it happens when I set a topic. How many times in the show have I said, I set this topic, and then last night or yesterday or this week. So last night I needed to go to a client's open house function. And it's not that I wasn't looking forward to going at all, but, you know, in the sake of full transparency for our show and especially our topic, I realized that I was having those same sort of odd feelings. I wasn't completely comfortable in knowing who was on the list of people that were going to be there. I felt somewhat awkward about being invited because they're my client, but we don't have a huge personal relationship outside of our businesses.
Right.
But I really wanted to show up and support them because this is a grand opening type situation, if you will, where they were doing the reveal of their business.
Okay.
So, of course, I wanted to be there.
You understand that it's totally normal to feel awkward in these situations.
Well, yes, because I needed to embrace my weird.
There you go.
But that's how I felt. It's like, because this particular audience is not my usual tribe of which I choose to hang out with socially. They're slightly more buttoned up and bankerish, if you will, which there's nothing wrong with that.
A little more conservative.
A little bit more perceptually conservative. And so I arrive on time. Don't laugh. I did because I wanted to be respectful. And as a girl, I went through all the what should I wear? Is it going to be dressy? Is it going to be not dressy? So default always, ladies, to all black and you're good no matter what. And I walk into the open house, which is essentially a cocktail party. And I do not know anyone else there but my client. And I am okay with that.
Your client is just made up of one person or a group of people?
Well, he is the business owner.
And he's the one.
And then he did have his right hand, I would say right hand man, but
right hand
man
person
woman with him, you know, at the party.
So everybody else, you didn't know anybody.
I did not know anybody. And so I am making awkward, socially enough conversation.
Now, awkward in your head, was it really awkward?
Exactly. No, it wasn't awkward at all. It was me feeling awkward inside my head. And I was not received as a weirdo, but I was like thinking, in some weird way that I just didn't fit in with this particular crowd. And that was so not true. It was not true at all. It was like the story I was telling myself in my head. So I was sitting outside, and then another person came in that I knew really well. And so we were sitting outside for a few minutes catching up. And there was a gentleman who may have been the president of a bank that was standing in one place. And then there was another gentleman who was engaging in conversation with him. And I had observed this person significantly, the one that was the president of said bank, because he had the same conversation with each individual in the same way. And it was like, hey, how are things going? How's your business?
Right.
And the other person was like, my business is doing great. How's your business?
Everything's great.
Great. Yep. Everything's fantastic. Well, this one guy, I was so proud of him. The bank president asked the same question that he'd asked to everyone else that previous conversation, and he said, how's everything going? And the other man, who is a banker as well, said, you know, it's tough right now. I'm just barely keeping my head above water.
Go.
And I literally wanted to stand up and applaud this guy. So, you know, that's probably all we probably need to discuss around party etiquette. But it's one of these things that just really accelerated the need for me to talk about how that your inside voice does not always match your outside voice. And like you said, everyone has their element of weird. And it's not like I did anything weird. But at the same time, I almost wish I could be that person who could show up in there with the biker boots, with the cocktail dress. Like, I'm just not that comfortable with my weird yet.
You started up a memory in my head here. And this is a great example. And I'm glad I remembered this. When I was going to the University of Georgia, and I was in the advertising club, the ad club, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah, the ad club.
We took a field trip to Atlanta to a rather large ad agency. Everybody was wearing suits, and I was freaking out because I was wearing, I don't know what was in style then, like Cavarici. Remember those
parachute pants?
They weren't parachute pants, but... I was wearing basically very casual. I mean, I was wearing sneakers.
You're a college student.
And yeah, I was a college student. And every one of my peers was wearing the jacket and tie. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I was the only one. Okay. So we're taking a tour of this ad agency. And mind you, I'm feeling weird, obviously. And we get through to the sales department and this department, that department. Then we end up in the creative department. And we're getting an introduction to the creative director, and he's basically saying what a creative director at an ad agency does. All right, so we're all in this room, and I'm, you know, the weird guy there. And then all of a sudden, he wraps up the little presentation, and everybody's filing out. He takes me aside. He hands me, mind you, we had no conversations. There was no interaction. He just gave his presentation. He takes me aside, gives me his business card, and says, you know what? When you come close to graduation, hold on to my business card. Give me a call.
Yay, you.
Because
so
I
great.
Was the creative
different.
One. I was the one who got out on the ledge, didn't put on the shirt and tie, put on my Cavaricis or whatever they were. And he saw that as there's somebody that's creative. There's somebody that could work at an ad agency like this. So your point is hitting home.
Well, and it's actually not just my point, because as I began doing some research on this, I mean, you'd be amazed, actually, if you Google embrace your weirdness, that it's actually like things come up.
A lot of things.
So a lot of things we don't want to talk about on the show. But but one of the things that I did find that was very interesting is that the earliest study that I could find went back to 1930s, and it was from a German psychologist did some research, and I'm going to slaughter his name, but it was like Hedwig von Restroff, something similar to that.
I'll go along with that.
And this is so perfect for the story that you just told, because in his research from 1930, he discovered that we remember things that stand out more easily. And in the, it's a she. Wow. Sorry. Hedwig is a she.
Hedwig is a woman. Okay.
Sorry to offend. Not familiar with
Germany. Is she still around? This is 1930s here.
She's not, but she's with us. So in her 1933 study, It was found that when participants were presented with a list of categorically similar items with one distinctive isolated item, like you were the isolated
item
in your presentation.
Boy, was I.
Then the memory for the item is improved. Okay, now that is like the scientific Wikipedia, like, go for it, Hedwig, scientific right. version. I'm going to give you like the layman's
terms. The Tracy
I'm gonna
version.
Break it down. I'm going to give you the break it down Tracy version. Say you're in the grocery store. And you have a shopping list because you are so busy that you've got to get a bunch of things done.
Well, that's grocery shopping, yes.
And in my case, there's usually that one item where I've needed like the four times that I've gone to the grocery store and it's been on my list, but I haven't remembered to get it.
God, like, I hope it's not toilet paper.
And you know, and what's even more annoying is sometimes, I'm avoiding your question. And anyway, sometimes what's even more annoying is that I remember it when I'm like pushing the cart out and I'm like practically to my
car. It happens to me all the time.
Dang, I'm not going back in. I'm not going back in.
See, I go back in.
Yeah, no, I can't. I'm just like, I'm done with that chapter.
Because your ice cream is melting.
So what I have found, exactly.
You're ignoring
that
one
too. So
what
I have found, I'm not even going to admit the frozen Eggo blueberry waffles. No, gross. I really don't eat those. No, really, I don't. So what I have started to do now is I take the shopping list and I highlight, literally, with a highlighter and a bright, like, blue or green or yellow highlighter, the item. One item, because you can't do it with more than one item or it won't work. The one item that I do not want to forget, and it solves the problem because then it's the highlighted one on your list. You see it. It stands out. You go and get it. It's in your cart, and you remembered it.
All right. Now, here's the question. So you get the highlighted item. What happens when you forget one of the items that's not highlighted?
Well, then it goes on the list for the following week. I mean, come on. It's not a perfect system here.
It's just a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle of which I'm trying to use as a great metaphorical example of how when you are different and you embrace your weirdness, you can stand
out
like an item on a shopping list.
Absolutely.
Or, okay, so if that one's not working for you, I have another one because, you know, I always have a backup plan. So if you take the following list of words, pretty much like you did when we opened the show,
yeah,
ironically, and let's say you use desk, chair, lamp, table, bed, chipmunk, stool, couch. What's the one of the words that
Chipmunk.
Chipmunk.
Got
exactly, it. Because it's the one that was isolated on the list that stood out among the rest. So, there's two really fantastic examples. One is my life story. One is one I borrowed. You choose which one applies to you.
This goes back to Sesame Street. Which of these is not like the other? If you remember that. You probably don't.
Yeah,
you were.
Yeah, you know, I was an Electric Company fan, you know, where they went, hey, you
guys. Yeah.
Oh, God, Lord.
But standing out is definitely can often be a good thing. Being weird is good.
Being weird is good, and it's being weird in business is actually really good. And I'm sure that does not surprise you, right?
It does not, but it could sometimes be bad, but let's hear the good.
Okay. So weirdness in business is actually becoming a really popular thing. Kind of like the hoodies in the creative industry now. So you were actually setting the precedent when you were wearing your hoodie and your t-shirts into your, you know, ad agency in Atlanta. Like if you go to an ad agency in Atlanta right now, if you found
everybody's
a suit,
looking
you would
like
probably
that.
Notice that was different.
All
right.
So now wearing a suit, you're going to be the standout weirdo.
You're going to be the chipmunk on that list. So anyway, weirdness is becoming very popular in big business, and which always sets the tone for the trickle down effect, if you will. And it's also, as a result of that, it's catching on in importance of strength and branding and customer rapport and customer service. And the two examples that I can think of right away are Zappos, which really was probably one of the pioneer. If a lot of people, I think, associate Google with the pioneer of weirdness, but I think Zappos was actually pretty weird in a happy way.
Is that a shoe, online shoes? Is that what
it is? Zappos is Zappos.com, and you can order the shoes and they'll be there like the next day because they built their storage facility is next door to FedEx or something. So that was very brilliant, actually. So, but their whole thing is delivering happiness. And when you interview for a job, at Zappos, one of the questions that you have to answer. So here, anyone who's about to apply at Zappos, I've got an inside secret, trading secret for you. You are going to have to answer on a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you? How about that?
So the good answer is like 9
like
or 10.
10 plus. Yeah. I mean, I'd be
you're
like
off the
10
charts.
Plus. Are you kidding me? And I like it. And then there's a company, and I've seen these products around a lot. They're based out of San Francisco. Their company is Method, so they do a lot of like hand soaps and really cool. And their packaging is weird.
Yeah,
but
no, I like
out.
It. We have it's like a little upside down light bulb looking soap bottle. We have
right
this.
And transparent, and you can see it. They have a very cool branding logo. You can check them out online. You can see visually what we're talking about, but. One of their tasks as an employee for that company is they are given homework assignments that say, how would you keep Method weird? Like they want to sustain the weirdness so that they're always in a complete state of innovation and transformation.
Interesting.
Which that is how you can embrace back how important being weird is in business. But it's also a great point to ponder around branding and just what can you do not only in your own personal brand or your own brand in terms of visual colors and signature icons, Nike swoosh, things like that, but also in just how you put out to the world what your message is. And I integrated these two concepts of the personal weirdness and the business weirdness. I found it merged so perfectly in an Apple commercial that they did for their iPhone. And
this
you
recently?
Can YouTube it. I mean, I don't know how recently, actually, because I didn't look at the date because I was so enthralled with watching the video itself.
Right.
But I will have the link on show notes for that you can go watch it.
Cool.
But essentially, the commercial's name is Human Family, and it's a visual collaboration of people, I think from the Olympics, if I'm not 100% sure, but it's all kinds of diversity and all kinds of different people, but I think they're all involved with the Olympics. And the background is the voice of Maya Angelou.
That's a great commercial.
It is such a great commercial. And I don't know where we are with our break, but I paraphrased the poem from Maya Angelou, so I can read it now, or I can keep you in suspense.
Read it now. We got about
okay,
a minute.
Okay, great. I'm so glad you said that. Okay, I'm setting it up for you since we're all audio. So you've got this amazing video, it's all about diversity, showing all different kinds of faces and people and places, and her voice in the background, which is so powerful, does not sound like mine. But I paraphrased it, and it says, I know 10,000 women called Jane and Mary Jane, but I've not seen any two who really were the same. In minor ways we differ, in major we're the same. I note the obvious differences between each sort and type, but we are more alike, my friends, than we are unalike.
Absolutely. True to the extreme. And Tracy doesn't do it justice because you have to hear Maya Angelou's voice.
You do. I mean, I'm all about the, I'm just the messenger right now. I'm the kind of like the conduit, but I highly recommend you go to the website and pull up the show notes so that you can watch it for yourself if you haven't already seen it. And I had not seen it. And then I was doing some research and I came across it and I thought there's no better way to get across the message that I want to get across on our episode of Embracing the Weirdness other than that, because Apple was using it in a very positive way to send a very positive message. At the same time, they were fundamentally, it is an advertising message to sell more iPhones.
Well, of course.
But at the same time, they also were stepping up as a company that is embracing all types and of people from all different places. And I'm sure that they want you to know that their cell phone service and phones work in all of these different places. But at the same time, it was a very powerful, powerful message, and it was produced in a wonderfully warm and had a very just impactful statement behind it. So good for Apple.
All right. So weird and success in business can go hand in hand. So far, what you have said reigns true. At least I think so, because this show is becoming quite the success, and you, Tracy, are quite the weird one.
Hey. I'm quite the weirdo, and people just keep registering, signing up, downloading. They love me. What can I say?
All right, we've got more. We're going to get some takeaways and a little bit more right after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Journey to There, the intersection between personal and business growth, as well as a little bit of weird. Embrace your weird is the topic today. Tracy.
You know, I love, as you know, the whole show represents the fact that I definitely embrace my weird. However,
you think?
if you're listening to the show, and I can actually like visualize you're at your desk and you have your speaker like muted, but your headphones on, and you're thinking, yeah, like I would love to embrace my weird right now, but I'm looking around in this office. It's not really quite possible for me. So all that being said, that might involve you having to make a few changes. Now, we don't know at this point what those changes would be for you, but I wanted to let you know that all is not lost. You can go to journeytothere.com/change, journeytothere.com/change, and you can download my very own free 4-week workshop series. And I say workshop, that sounds a little heavy. It's actually really light and fun and free, and it just is a catalyst for you to really identify areas where you want to change and how to make those changes. So if you're feeling like you want to bust out your weirdo, then go download it and create some change. But in spite of all of the positive things that I was talking about businesses using weird to be successful or poignant, I really noted when you said earlier in the show, it can be good, but it can be bad. So I wanted to know where did that come from? You felt a little personal.
Yeah, bit me in the butt. It was business related. I was in charge. I was working at a radio station in management, and I was in charge of hiring the talent, the DJs, the radio personalities. So in this particular case, we needed a night jock, a DJ or a radio personality that worked between 7 and midnight. And I found this guy. He sent in his tape. This was back when they were sending cassettes. And boy, was this guy weird and awesome. And he sounded great. And it was the energy. It was just one of those weird personalities that I thought would be great on the air on this radio station between 7 and midnight. So everything about it was weird. His presentation, the way he sent the tape and everything.
But like, define weird, because weird is
just
subjective.
Wacky on the air, saying wacky things, but they made sense for the purpose of the show. And he stood out. It was not your typical DJ. It wasn't your typical radio personality, and we needed something that would stand out. So we interviewed him. We hired him. Okay, here's where it bit us in the butt. In radio, you've got your duties as being on the air, and then you have your duties as what you need to do off the air. Do some production, do your show prep, attend meetings. And he thought that all he needed to do was show up, get behind the microphone, and do his weird thing, his shtick, and he did it and did it well. But to work with him was so difficult, and it got to the point where it just wasn't worth the weird, because he would not show up at any meetings, he would not take our input, nothing like that. It was his show, and it was his world, and it was his weirdness. And
you were working in it.
Yeah.
Well, and what that sounds like to me is a case of someone who had a huge ego, who had no issues embracing their idiosyncrasies, if
exactly.
you will, but at the same time, the advantages that brought to the table did not outweigh the disadvantages
not in
of
this
having
case.
That personality type. Because at that point, what I'm hearing you say is it was extremely disruptive, and then as a result was not productive. And in that case, you almost have to feel like, you know, we love who you are and we love what you stand for and the person that you want to be, but you just can't be it here. And I think that is a great example, because what do you do in a situation where you're all about promoting diversity and you're all about promoting weirdness? And when I mean diversity, I mean like every kind of skill sets even. And so the whole idea is that you want to stand behind that as a company mission, but then you have a person who sort of stands out like the, you know, the green
right.
thumb or whatever.
It's gonna happen, and I would do it again. I would hire weird again. I would just have a little thicker filtration process in the interviewing.
Right, and I love those 2 points, because A, your weirdness doesn't always mean that you're bad, wrong, or not a fit. It just means that you're not a fit for that particular place. So you want to go to the tribe that is more of your tribe, and weird ideas and elements, they stick with us. But what I would like to say in that regard is
this is like your takeaway here.
It's like, well, it is one of my takeaways, actually. And thank you for pointing that out. But your story really set this thought up for me. And what I want to say is, like, that guy, that person, anybody, if you're being yourself, then the right people will follow. So you guys weren't the right person for him, but he's going to be the right person for somebody else. Right. I always tell my husband there's a lid for every pot. And so he was being himself, and he may not have made that path work, but he went on to another path. The right message, if you're delivering the right message, either your personal message or your branding message, will connect with the right person at the right time. So you do have to keep staying true to who you are, putting out your message to the right audience, and then having that connect at the right moment. And then the second point that you said I thought was very interesting is that you might have had a situation that was challenging and maybe not your best hire in that scenario, but I love it that you said, I'll hire weird again.
Absolutely.
And that, I love that. I mean, that might be one of our t-shirts, is like, just keep trying weird, right? Because you're weird, maybe somebody else's comfort zone. Who knows, right? So,
well said, my fellow weirdo. Right, just a quick note from a woman named Mandy Hale. She said this: so you're a little weird, work it. A little different, own it. Better to be a nerd than one of the herd. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Leave us a weird comment today. Log on right now to journeytothere.com. Catch the archived episodes that you may have missed. We have a lot of them. And remember, what is so funny?
Russ is the nerd and I'm the weird.
Oh, stop it. Remember, we're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and so much more. We look forward to hanging out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth on the next Journey to There episode. I'm turning off the mic and I'm coming after you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.